God's got plans for us. You know, my wife was talking about that. It was really good. I loved what she was saying up there. But as she was saying that, you know, I just heard this in my spirit, that if you learn to abide, then you'll never forget his plan. See, whenever we forget what God wants to do, when we forget the goodness of God, that is really our first indication that we're not abiding. You know, you can abide in one moment and not abide in the next moment, but that's the first indication that we're not abiding. When we, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Amen. So if you're in a place where it seems kind of hopeless, and you're just not sure what to do, just remember these words that I said to you. That means that you got to just start abiding. Say, that's your eureka moment. You got to go back in. Father, I'm not abiding, and I thank you, Lord, that I know that I can enter in. Glory to God. Praise the Lord through the blood of Jesus. And so I enter back in right now in Jesus' name. And then you got to believe it. Amen. Because, you know, this whole thing, if there's no faith, if there's no belief, then it doesn't do us much good. You know, we can sit there and we can resist the word of God. We can resist the plan of God. We can resist the things that God wants to do in us, and we can watch them go right by us. Amen. We don't want to watch the plan of God just go by us, you know, trickle by us like a stream. Praise the Lord. We want to be in that flow. We want to be getting what God has for us. And God will give us, as I have learned, God will give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. There's so many times where I've said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not worthy. And he's, you know, the Lord's just like, I know. But that's why I sent Jesus, you know, praise the Lord. Now, I didn't have that exact conversation with him, but you know, that understanding is there often. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of the things that God has given me or that he's given me to do. I'm not worthy. As John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to loose his sandal straps. Amen. I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. Glory to God. But praise the Lord, he made me worthy. Amen. I'm not worthy in of myself. Amen. And so because I have his blood covering me, because Jesus made me righteous, and because he made you righteous, we can get in. And it's time that we just start getting in. It's time that we just start knowing that we can do that. And when we know that, then we just do that. Amen. It's time to stand up. And you know, you may have heard me say this before. Yes, the time is still now. Amen. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is your salvation. It's your saving grace. It's the thing that you couldn't get. When you look to the Lord for anything, you're looking for salvation. Now, he has given you salvation for eternal life, and we believe in that. We hold on to that. That doesn't come and go, but we know that we need saved from things in this world too, don't we? We need saved from every day sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we need saved every moment. Glory to God. Well, aren't you glad that you got a redeeming God? Amen. I said a redeeming God. He isn't just a redeemed God. He is a redeeming God. And so he can take what is broken and fix it. He can take what isn't working and make it work. He can take what isn't good and make it better. Praise the Lord. And this is exactly what your God wants to do. Amen. Well, I don't know if it's your God, but that's what my God wants to do. So if your God doesn't want to do that for you, you come on over and visit my God for a minute, because he wants you and he's got room too. Amen. God has greater things for us, bigger things for us. Praise the Lord. He has gooder things for us, and it just gets gooder and gooder. Amen. That gooder isn't going to stop growing until it's just so good that we can't stand it. So good that we just can't even stay in these bodies. I mean, you know that's what's going to happen, right? All of a sudden, God's goodness is going to be revealed to us, and the Bible says in a twinkling of an eye, we won't all die, but we all will be changed. Hallelujah. What does that mean? I'm not exactly sure, because I ain't been changed yet, but I know this, that it's going to get better. Amen. That it's going to get greater. Hallelujah. And I just know this, that my life, as I follow God, only gets better. Praise the Lord. I said it only gets better. Excuse me while I preach here for a minute, but it only gets better. There's only better from here on out for a believer. And I'm saying a believer in Christ. Now you can say, well, I believe in Christ, but that doesn't make you a believer in Christ. Amen. There's a difference between believing that he exists and believing in who he is and what he does. Hallelujah. And if you'll believe in who he is and what he does, glory to God, then you will see who he is and what he does, because that's how it works. Why does it work that way? Because God set it up that way. I'm not arguing with him. I learned not to argue with him a long time ago. Why? He knows so much more than I know. And if he knows more than I know, then I don't need to know what I know. I just need to get in and find out what he knows. Amen. And when I know what he knows, then I'm blessed. Then the door's open. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And that, my friends, is what faith is. We start believing God. We got to stir ourselves up sometimes. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have the privilege, and I have the privilege. of being here this morning. Glory to God. What do I mean by that? Not because I'm preaching, but we get to come together. God has prepared for us a house. He's put a preacher in the house. He's put the gifts in the house. He's brought us all together. Praise the Lord, because he wants to do something. We have the privilege of coming together and being preached at this morning. Amen. Because that's exactly what church is. It's a privilege for you. It's a privilege for me. It's a blessing of the Lord. It's grace. It's part of the grace that he has given us to succeed. Part of the grace that he has given us to ensure that we will walk in his plans and walk out his plans. Amen. We just have to abide. We have to do it. Now, I know that we preach a lot. We'll preach about the word, you know, the things that we do. We'll preach about, you know, do's and don'ts sometimes, and we'll share those things because those things will help you be more effective at abiding in him. Amen. But don't you get in condemnation about it. Don't you start getting condemned about the things that you don't think you can do. But you have to recognize that there are things that are right and wrong. And when we recognize that there are things that are right and wrong, and we endeavor to live in the right, glory to God, we endeavor to abide in him. And as we abide in him, praise the Lord, he can do things in us that couldn't be done before. Amen. Glory to God. I thank God that he didn't require me to get perfect before I came to Christ. Amen. And I thank God that he didn't require me to be perfect before I could serve him. And I thank God that he didn't require me to be perfect before I could pastor for him. And I thank God that as I go forward in life, I still ain't got to be perfect, but I set my sights on him. I set my goals on him. When I know that I'm wrong, I do my best to correct it. Praise the Lord. But we stay in the God flow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. Glory to God. That just, hallelujah. That's just there to help us. Like my wife said, I've been filling up all week. I got a little bit overflow, and so it's just coming out, and you're just getting some of that. Amen. But, you know, I realize, especially this week, I realize more and more, you know, as this year has things have opened up and things have gotten a little bit easier, and we've been able to have these meetings. Last year, they couldn't even have any meetings in Gatlinburg. They were all canceled because of, you know, COVID and all that stuff. But as I've been in a couple meetings, and I've just been in two meetings this year, but already have learned the importance of being in those meetings for myself, but also the importance of me being in those meetings for you as well, because the things that are imparted to me there are things that we bring back and impart to you here. Amen. And that keeps us in the right direction. Glory to God. One of the things that I have learned and has been solidified in me, especially this week, is the importance of connections. You know, Christians who are lone wolves, or Christians that are out there trying to do it on their own, or Christians who are just deceived Christians. They're fooling themselves. You have to be connected, and it doesn't matter if you are at the top of the food chain, so to speak. I'm not saying I'm at the top, but I'm just saying that, you know, I'm in that food chain at a certain place. Glory to God. And a lot of people get to a place of ministry and they think, well, you know, I've arrived. I don't need to be connected anymore. But that's just a falsehood. It's a lie from the devil, just trying to get people separated. Connections are the most important things, because as we come together, things that are in error can be worked out of us. Things where we're being deceived will be worked out of us. Amen. If we're willing to go with it. Glory to God. Well, today we're preaching about the other side of faith. Amen. That's the name of today's message. The other side of faith. You know, we think about multiples. Have you ever heard somebody say, my good side, this is my good side. Take the picture on this side, it's my good side. Yeah. Amen. Usually for people, they think of it as the front side, not the back side. You know, this is my good side. I know some people, maybe the back side is a little bit better than the front side. I don't know. Praise the Lord. It's not for me to say, and I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that's sometimes the way that it is. Amen. And sometimes people look at faith that way. You know, there's the one side of faith, and we're going to talk about that just briefly, just to mention it. That's the side of actually trusting God and believing God. Amen. And that's the side of faith that everybody enjoys. Like, you know, you get a promise. Amen. And if you just believe that promise, then you believe that it can come to pass and things like that. And that's the exciting side of faith, that you have the promise. But then there's the other side of faith, sometimes that we think is the less attractive side of faith. It's the back side of faith, glory to God, or the other side of faith, which is patience, glory to God. But we have to understand, patience is not faith's ugly sister, amen, or ugly brother, glory to God. It is equally a blessing, and we need to embrace it, embrace what it is for us. And so often, as Christians. And this is where the message really is birthed out of, is so often in Christians, you know, we preach about the truth of God. We preach about, you know, the, you know, what you can trust God for and where you can put your faith and stuff like that. But, you know, and we do preach about patience from time to time as well. But when we're trusting God for something, when we've been praying, when we've been seeking Him for something and we want answers, praise the Lord, we often get the part, we retain the part of trusting Him, or that we can believe Him for it, or that we can at least ask Him for it. But we often forget this other aspect of faith, which is called patience. Yeah. Now, faith is what makes the Christian world go around. Amen. That's what drives us. It's like what keeps us going. That's what builds us up. That's what strengthens us. Faith is in all those things. Amen. So if we forget this part of it, we forget that part of what makes the Christian world go around. You know, when we pray, we should pray in faith. If we're not praying in faith, then we're not praying according to the will of God. Right. You know, some people say, Lord, if it be thy will, because they see Jesus pray that, but they take it out of context, because when Jesus prayed that, it was a prayer of consecration. He was trying to get out of something that he, you know, naturally speaking, was trying to get out of something that he knew was going to be tough. But notice what he did. You know, see, listen, you're going to go through the same thing. You're going to be faced with the inevitable truth sometimes that what is ahead of you is going to be tough. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Anybody who's ever suffered from addiction knows exactly what I'm saying. When you get to the place where you know that you got to drop that, when you get to the place where you know you got to put that down, you know you're going to face a tough road. You know that there's something tough ahead of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when you know that it's right, when you know that it's good, you face the tough road. Yes. Praise the Lord. But you face it with a thing called patience. Yes. Glory to God. Patience is what brings us through. Right. Patience is what perfects us. Patience is really what strengthens us. Patience is what prepares us for the next trial. See, a lot of Christians, they go from trial to trial and lose every single one because they've never perfected patience. Wow. They've never allowed patience to be perfected in them. You know, I've been preaching a lot lately. Sometimes in the will of God, we'll find ourselves being in a place where everything isn't just hunky-dory all the time, every second, the way we wanted it to be, just because we said it. Amen? You know, I've been talking a lot about that. But this is the other side of that. There's a reason for that. Because God doesn't want us to be invalids. He doesn't want us to be weaklings. He doesn't want us to be without. He wants us to be strengthened. Amen? The only way to get strengthened is to work through something. Amen? And usually with some labor. Amen? So I'm just going to bring up Hebrews 11:6. This is the scripture you know, and we're going to bring it up for the purpose of just talking about, maybe we'll bring it up, amen? Glory to God, or up. What's it doing? What's it going to do? Oh, who knows what's it going to do? It's going to get up there, amen? Praise the Lord. That's not the, what was that? Be patient. That's right. Hey, woo! Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. That's a good word, brother. That's a good word. Amen. You see what I mean? Oh, hallelujah. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Hallelujah. You could really say it like this: without patience, it's impossible to please Him. I mean, I didn't plan on saying that, but I just saw it as I looked up there. Without patience, it's impossible. Why? Because patience is an element of faith. So when you pray to God, when you ask Him for something, you have to know that there could be patience involved. Amen. And I'm not talking about patients like in the hospital. Amen. I'm not talking about people that you're praying for. I'm talking about patients waiting. Amen. But waiting in faith. Because that's what faith is. Sometimes faith, you know, the Bible tells us if we have what we expected, then there's no hope. Or if we hope for what, if we have what we hoped for, then the hope is not necessary anymore, is essentially what I'm saying. And then what the word says. And so if we see the thing before us, then there's no need for expectation or hope. It's already there. You know what I mean? Like if you know that you have something, you know, on Christmas, when you're looking for Christmas, you're in expectation when you're a kid. But when you get there, you're not in expectation anymore because you're already there. Now it's just, you know, get down to business. Amen. But without patience, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Now, this is, man, I didn't think I was going to preach on this scripture, but here you got me going on it. Amen? For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Yes. They must believe that He is, And we understand that that doesn't mean he just that he exists, but they believe in who God is, right? Yeah. But also that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yeah. If you've prayed to God for something, if you've released faith for something, or if you've gotten into that place where you're using faith, right? Glory to God, or you're walking in faith, and then all of a sudden you start getting downtrodden because it hasn't come yet. Yeah. You stop doing this verse right here. Yeah. You stop believing. You say, well, I still believe in Jesus. Yes, you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in what he does.
Right.
You don't believe in who he is. Right. You don't believe in what he said. You don't believe in what those who are around him said about him. Right. That said he said and said he did. You don't believe what the Holy Ghost says about him. Amen? See, when we come to God, we have to believe something. We have to know something. We have to have faith that when we go to God, that there is truths that are applicable to our lives. Excuse me, that was a big word for me. Amen? But I got it out eventually. And but we have to believe that in the truth, yes, there are things, sometimes there are variables that enter in, but that doesn't change how we see God and what we believe about God. Amen. We still believe that he is. Glory to God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder who diligently seek him. Everybody loves a reward. That's the happy side of faith. That's the blessed side of faith. Well, that's what I mean is that in human terms, that's what humans look at and say, this is the greatest part of faith. Amen? Yeah. If you've ever gotten excited at church, you've gotten excited not because I preach what the Bible says don't do, but I preach what the Bible says you have. That's where people get stirred and excited. That's where preachers love to get up and expound, and they start preaching and everybody's hooting and hollering, swinging from the chandeliers. You love the fact that God says good things about your life. You love that God has a plan for your life that's good. You love that. Amen. That's what excites you. That's what stirs you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we have to understand that what gets us there is the patience. What sees us through, what bridges the gap between where we are and where we're going is patience. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's not a bad thing. We need to learn to get excited, as excited about that. And we're going to see that in the Word, maybe if we get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. And maybe we won't. Who knows? But I'll at least say it if not. Amen. Seeking God in faith is what brings reward. Seeking God in faith. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What does diligently mean? Diligently is when you just continually go. You just, like, I got my little dog. You know my little dog, right, Cassie?
Yeah.
Little rat. Cassie, for the most part, is quiet. She's not really a barker or anything like that. She'll let you know when somebody's there. Mostly she's just saying, hey, who are you?
Right.
You know what I mean? But she doesn't say it for long. That little rat, too, man, she ticked me off. My mom picked me up. Pastor Tim dropped me off. My mom picked me up and was driving me home after I'd been gone for a week. And I walk through the door, and Cassie sees me, so she beelines for me, right? And then right behind me, my mom walks, and she runs right by me and goes right to her. I was like, you stinking rat. I don't know if she's giving her, but she's giving her something she likes. Amen. But anyways, I was talking about diligence and persistence and stuff like that. So Cassie, when she does want something, like when it's time, when she wants to go outside, she lets you know. And she doesn't just let one person know. She comes over to me. Like, we'll all be on the couch. We have this big, sectional couch, a big family couch, glory to God. And we'll all be on the couch, and she'll come over to me, and she'll jump up, and she's like, just, wagging her tail. And she's looking at you very intently. You know what I mean? She's just like, she's staring at you like, look, like I got something I need right now, and I can't speak human. So you got to have to pay attention to my signs, amen. And she knows all that. And I've just picked that up over the years. But she gets really intense. And usually in the first time like that, I know what she needs, but I don't feel like getting up. So I just say, Cassie, go lay down. So I tell her go lay down. What's she do? She goes and runs to somebody else, does the same exact thing. And then she goes to somebody else and does the same exact thing. And everybody's doing the same thing, and nobody wants to get up to let her out because that would require walking 30 feet and opening a door. And nobody wants to have to do that when they're out. That's an important moment. And so Cassie will do that. She'll go back, and then she'll come back to me and do it. And eventually somebody has to get up, and it's the one who has the least amount of will. But that's diligently seeking. Amen? They just keep going, I'm not getting what I want, so I'm just going to keep seeking. Amen? No, she doesn't have to keep asking for it. We all know what she wants. Just the same thing with God. You don't have to keep asking for something that you don't have to keep asking for something from God. Amen. You just keep seeking him until you find it. Yeah. Glory to God. And that's the way the life of is that it's like Cassie. You just think about Cassie going around, to each person until she gets what she wants. Amen? Praise the Lord. Wonderful example of diligence. Thank you, Cassie dog. Glory to God. Seeking God in faith is what brings reward. But you know, the thing is, and this is something else we can learn from Cassie dog. Another thing that's really great about this, I just saw this as I looked down there, I was looking at the scripture. Glory to God. You know, she's excited when she does it. She knows she's going to get what she wants. Like in dog mind doesn't think, they ain't going to let me out because I'll poop on the floor. That's exactly what she knows. She's like, she knows that we don't want her doing that. She's a smart dog. I'm telling you the truth. She knows that we don't want her doing that. I mean, every once in a while, you know, she might get a little excited when you first come in if she hasn't been out and, you know, a little bit of a piddle or whatever, you know, on the floor. But that doesn't happen very often even. But she's excited because she knows she's going to go. And what she goes to one person, excited. Goes to the next person, just as excited. Goes to the next person, just as excited. Her excitement doesn't wane until she gets what she wants. Folks, this is teaching us something here. I said, that dog is running back and forth, going to person. Now, we don't go to person, you understand. We go to God, we go to the Holy Spirit, we go to Jesus. No, we just go there, amen? We just get in his presence, we just abide. But we go excited, we go expecting. See, this is what faith is. This is how we approach our Lord. Because I know I'm getting what I want. I know, see, listen, if you don't know, you know, there is a balance to this, and I've been preaching enough of the balance that I don't think I need to go there, but I am just going to mention it just to keep you in balance. It doesn't mean that every single thing that you want in life, you're going to get, whether it's right or wrong, whether it'll help you or not, whether it's good or bad. That's not what there's balance. There's things we can know that we can have. In fact, in 1 John, it tells us that if we know his will, then we can know that we have. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. See, first we need to know his will. But once we know his will, then we know we can have. Amen. Praise the Lord. She's like, Cassie knows my will, not to have her go on the floor. So she knows I'm going to go open the door for her. Amen? Praise the Lord. Persistence. And I just love that, you know, like you can learn so much from life just watching around. But that's exactly the way a Christian should be. We have a hopeful. Why? Because she loves so much. You know, dogs, they love so much. Glory, I hope this is okay. But, dogs love so much. And they expect so much out of love because they love so much. We have been made people of love. God, our God is love. The Bible says that he is love. He doesn't embody love. He doesn't just show love. He is love. He is the definition of love. Praise God. Hallelujah. So love gets excited. Love gets stirred. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews 6:12. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience. Glory to God. If there were not something that produces sluggishness, there would be no need to worry about being sluggish. We wouldn't be warned about getting sluggish if there wasn't something in our faith walk that was going to produce sluggishness. Yeah. Sluggishness. What is that which produces sluggishness? What is that? It's waiting. Yeah. It's when you don't have what you expect. You know, if there's an urgency in you about it, if there's a sense of urgency, like in Cassie, if there's a sense of urgency in you, then sluggish will never be a thing with you. Amen? If there's a sense of expectation, sluggish will never be able to overtake you. But you have to understand, you know, the direction is that you don't become sluggish. Letting us know that it's up to us whether or not we're sluggish or not. We decide whether or not we're going to be sluggish. How do we decide? By our actions. Do we give up on it? Because it doesn't seem to be happening. It doesn't seem to be happening. Whatever I've been seeking God for, or whatever I've been trusting in him about, it doesn't seem to be happening in the time that I want it to happen. People become sluggish. And then they fall away. They stop believing. They stop having faith. And there's no reward in that. When you stop trusting God, there's no reward in that, in whatever area you're trusting God in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we got to keep this balance. You can't live wrong and expect this all to work either. You know, but it's not a matter of just living wrong. When we know that something is wrong, that is our cue not to justify it, but to clean it up. When you know, listen to me, when you know something is wrong, don't justify it, clean it up. What a lot of people do is they try to justify why I still do this. Don't justify that. If it's wrong, clean it up. If you need help, look to the Holy Spirit for help. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But that aside, then you get into that place of faith and trusting God. Amen. Yeah, amen. Glory to God. It takes greater resolve to continue when things look bad. When things don't look like they're going the way that you want them to. But you'll see this if you really study Scripture, all through Scripture, every one of these people, it didn't look good for them. Abraham was promised a child in his 90s, right? 100 years old, and he's having a kid. Even back then, it was difficult. They knew that, right? We've been down that road before, recently, praise the Lord. But, they knew it didn't look good. It didn't look good in their favor. Praise God. But that's not what they stayed. They didn't look at that. What did they do? They looked to God with expectation. They knew with God. They looked at God with expectation. You know, there's a, Reverend Greer brought up a really awesome thing this week I'll share with you, just about our country and the way things are going. You know, we'll look at the news and we'll start saying, oh, this is what they're going to do, and this is what's going to happen. I do that myself. But that's wrong. We have to look at it and say, but good try, but it ain't going to work. Now, as long as we're here. Listen, there are certain things that are going to happen while we're here, but one thing that we do know is that regardless, we have victory. And if we have victory, things that look like they're not going to give us victory, you can't, sorry, it's not going to work. It doesn't work that way, devil. Don't sit there and say, oh, they're going to do this, it's all going to be bad. You know, the administration now, they're coming up with, they're doing crazy things. Don't get me wrong. Listen, if you can't look at the news and say that's nuts, and you're really deceived, the things that they're doing. But that's okay. Let them keep trying to do whatever they're going to do. It ain't going to work. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't care what side it is. I don't care where you are on it. Amen. We got to stop looking at things like it's thing is the end of the world. Yeah. The result when we're Christians, at some point, like, I know how it feels, and I know that when trial comes against you, when opposition comes against you, that you want to quit. I understand what that feels like. By God, I have been there a million times. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, we were listening to a little clip of an old-time evangelist, Catherine Kuhlman. And it was, you might be able to find it just by looking this up. But she said, she was talking about the work of the ministry, and she was talking about how she had nothing to offer God. And she was talking about how she just went to God and said, basically, I have nothing to offer you but me. And I know that that isn't much, essentially, but that's what I offer you. And she said that she did that every single day. She said every single time she came out to the pulpit, she said she dies 1,000 times. Yes. Over and over again, dies to herself 1,000 times. Yeah. I can't do it, but I offer it to you, God. Wow. Hallelujah. And think about how he used her in the amazing ways, the amazing things and healings that came through her ministry. Praise the Lord. It's going to take us doing the same thing. Sometimes we're just going to have to die to that thing. You know, that thing that's dogging us, it's trying to keep us, but it's trying to tell us that it ain't going to work. Listen, what other choice do you have? Because you can't make it happen. You know you can't make it happen. So you have no other choice but to just trust God that he can and that he will. So if you're not going to stay in that place, Christian, you will be in that constant cycle of being broken, of being defeated, of never coming out. The only way to come out of the trial is what you believe of God. When you start trusting God, when you start saying he will, when he will answer, there is no other choice. He's going to answer me. Why? Because he is God, and he said that he will. He will not leave me. He has not forsaken me. God will always take me out. Devil, I don't care what it looks like. Neighbor, I don't care what it looks like. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what it looks like. You're going to need faith if you're going to conquer this life. You're going to need something more than what you came in with. That is what the Word gives us, and we have to stand on that. You got a promise? Run on the promise. And if you don't got a promise, then you get your little eyes in this Bible, and you start looking for your promise. You start getting on your knees. You get before the Lord, and you start, Lord, I need a promise, because I got nothing to go on here, God. Have you ever been in that place? But then you're going to have to believe. Then you're going to have to trust, and that's what faith really kicks in. It's greater resolve. Hebrews 6:12 in the Amplified says, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning on the entire personality of God in Christ. This is what faith is. It's leaning on the entire personality of God. Like, listen, if you're at the place where you're just like, hey, I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. You've taken your eyes off the prize. You've taken your eyes off of Jesus. You've taken your eyes off the personality of who God is. This is where we need to be. We cannot go further until we get the basic. The Bible says in Hebrews, it tells us that the base, I think in the beginning of chapter 6, the basic principles of faith, of Christianity, is trusting God. Yes. Faith towards God. Yes. Amen? Yes. Is that what it says over there?
Yes.
Yeah. Verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of the repentance from dead works. Stop doing what's stupid. Stop doing what's wrong. We don't need to lay this foundation. This is what, as a pastor, this is what we lay in people all the time. We are constantly telling people, stop sinning. Stop doing what's wrong. We need to repent. You shouldn't have to be told that year after year after year. At some point, you have to have a conscience in you that says, yeah, that was wrong. I shouldn't do it. I don't need somebody to tell me to stop sinning. Why? Because every time I sin, the Holy Spirit says to me, that ain't right. My spirit on the inside says, that ain't good. I don't try to justify it and say, well, maybe I'm doing it because of this, or maybe I'm doing it. No, stop sinning. Stop doing it. Repentance from dead works. Be repentant. Change. Glory to God. If you want change, you got to change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Man, glory to God, I'll tell you. I've been filled up this week. Hallelujah. Amen. Since a crucified, praise the Lord, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Amen. As believers, we need to learn to not just trust the promise, but to trust the process. Amen. Yeah, I'll repeat that. As believers, we need to learn to not just trust the promise, but to trust in the process. Yes. Just believing God is one part. The other part is staying there. The other part is remaining. Amen? Yes. Turn me to Romans 4. Glory to God. Romans 4. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen? Romans 4:16. We'll read through verse 24. Glory, hallelujah. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. It is of faith that it might be according to grace. Grace is the ability that we don't have. But it is of faith that it's according to grace. So you have to trust in the grace. The grace is the power, is what God's given us. The grace is what we didn't deserve. The grace is what we can't. The grace is Him and what He can. But we have to have faith. It is of faith that it might be according to grace. So that the promise might be what? Sure. To all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What makes us children of Abraham and heirs of the seed? Or heirs according to the promise? Glory to God. What makes us the seed? It's a faith. It's not the bloodline. God don't care about the bloodline. We've all been adopted in. Probably ain't any of us in the lineage of Abraham. But Jesus said, it don't matter. I'm going to adopt you in because I was. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believe. He's talking about Abraham now. When there was no reason to have hope, no reason to really truly expect, no natural reason to look at it and say it was good. In fact, every natural thing told Abraham it wasn't happening. They told Sarah it wasn't happening. They agreed together. It ain't happening. God told them it would happen. They looked at God and said, how can it happen? Yeah. You understand? This is like, but they didn't stay there. Yeah. That's the key, amen? Because they knew who God was. Right. Who, contrary to hope and hope belief, so that he became the father of many nations. How did he become the father of nations? Many nations. Not because of the promise. The promise did not make, did you hear me? The promise did not make Abraham anything. The expectation of the promise being true and that it would come to pass, that made Abraham something. That's what gave him the promise. See, and this is the same thing with you. The promises of God can float by us in that river and we can just watch them all go by, watch them all go by. Or we can hook up to it and say, that belongs to me. And there ain't nobody's going to tell me otherwise. That's what faith is. Praise the Lord. And sometimes there's a waiting process, and that's okay. According to what was written, what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith. Now, this is what this entire section of Scripture, this is what it's teaching us. It's teaching us that it wasn't the promise that did it. It wasn't that God had said the promise, but it was that Abraham believed what God said, that he trusted to it. It trusted it so much that it had to happen. Even in the impossibility of the situation in front of them. Think about that. Oh, that's good. Praise the Lord. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. In other words, he did not consider the thing that told him no. Has your body ever told you no? What happened if you just didn't consider it? What happened if you just get, the government will tell you no. What happens if you just don't consider it? You can't preach the word of God. Thanks, but I don't even consider that. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't do this. You can't have church. You can't do this. Thanks, but I'm not even going to consider that. Amen. Amen. Actually, if you really think about it, not even consider, wouldn't even be saying thanks. It'd just be like, did somebody fart in here? Sorry. But that's what it's stinky. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. I got to make a point. That's right, brother. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You're here to help me. You know that. Praise the Lord. Don't even consider this. Or don't even consider what she's saying. just keep your eyes on the prize, brother. Just keep it straightforward. Glory to God. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Where does it, like when you're beaten down and you need that uplifting, where's that strength? It's coming from one place. It's coming from faith. You know why you don't perpetually feel strengthened? Why it just dogs on you and you feel weaker and weaker and weaker? Because there's no faith attached. Attach faith to it because you are strengthened in faith. How was Abraham strengthened? By faith. Why is Paul telling the Romans this? Because if this is how it works for Abraham, this is how it works for you. Amen. Strengthened in faith. And how did he do this? Giving glory to God. There's so much in these scriptures. He's strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I'm not moving from the promise, giving glory to God. God, you're just so good. You are Redeemer. You're Healer. You're my supply. You are my banner. You are my protection. You have never left me. You have never forsaken me. Lord, you are so good. How about start doing that instead of crying? Yeah. Or how about doing that with your tears? Yeah. You want to cry about something, at least cry good things. Yeah. Amen. Say something good. speak life into the situation instead of speaking death into it constantly. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, glory to God. See, what are we preaching this for? That we need this going forward. The world needs to see this. They need to see that there is a difference in the church. But a weak church, which is what the church has been, a weak church is not helping the world with anything. Do you know Christianity is losing more and more? What was it? 30,000 churches closed from 2006 to 2012. 30,000 churches in America closed from 2006 to 2012. Wow, that's a lot. There was on average 6,000 a year. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, I know that that's, you know, but praise the Lord. That was roughly 5,000 a year closing. Maybe the number's up, I don't know. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. If you need strength in your current situation, you're going to find that in that place of having faith, giving glory to God. And being, well, see, because that's the thing. If you don't have any kind of faith, you're not going to give any glory to God. If you don't truly believe that what you're going to do is what everybody else does, when something bad happens, you're going to go like, why is this happening to me? Why is this, you know? Yeah. Listen, we're all there. We all go there. So I'm not speaking from a place like, because I was like looking in your windows. I was looking in my own room. You understand? In my own time when I was just like, why is this happening to me? But Lord, see, this is why abiding in God is so good, because when you abide in God, you can't do that. You can't say, woe is me, very long before all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, what am I saying? There's no woe is me. There's no woe is me. I'm a child of the living God. There's no woe is me. Hallelujah. And the Lord will remind you of that. But see, some people never grab onto that. They always say, woe is me. Downtrodden, beaten, broken. Listen, it will go through moments. And if you see a brother and sister in here that's going through a moment and they're downtrodden a little bit, don't just get down on them. Where's your faith? You don't have enough faith. What's wrong with you? That's not what you do. You start encouraging them. You get around them. You start stirring them a little. You stir the pot. Yeah. Right? When some stuff is settled out, when you see your brother or sister has become a little sluggish, maybe they need a little bit of stirring. And so you go over there and you start stirring. Remember how good God is? Remember what he does?
That's right.
He doesn't leave you, doesn't forsake you, he helps you, he builds you up. He's your strength, he's your promise. He's given you all these exceedingly great and wonderful promises. You remember that God? Praise the Lord. You remember when he saved you from this or saved you from that? See, this is why it's good to know each other and not just run to our holes every time. We know each other because, you know, when we know each other, I don't want to not know your testimonies. There's enough people that tell me what's wrong. It would be nice once in a while if people come and say, you know what? This is what God did in my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe we should talk more about that. Maybe we should talk more about that with one another. Maybe we shouldn't be ashamed of our testimony. Maybe when God does something good for you, you can share it with someone else and they can get encouraged. And they say, well, maybe if I do that same thing, I can be blessed. We're called together for a reason, and that reason is edification. That reason isn't so, oh, we could just come here, sit, have church, and go home and do our own thing the rest of the time. No, we look at each other. We look at the blessings in other people's lives and say, well, if God did it for them, maybe he'll do it for me too. And then the brother or sister who he did it for at that time could look at them and say, yep, he will.
Yeah. That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise. I'm getting sweaty up here. Look what it says. He says in verse 21, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Yeah, I don't know how many times I got stirred up this week. I'm just telling you. And when I'm in there, I got stirred up about some stuff. I started making some bold claims. Right? I started making, because I was stirred up, just like you're getting stirred up today, and you'll make some bold claims. You're going to walk out of here making some bold claims. But guess who's going to come knocking just a little bit, because he did with me. The devil's going to come knocking. He's going to say, well, how's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? But, well, I'm fully convinced that what he promised, he's also able to perform. That's how you look at that. That's how you deal with those thoughts. So I don't need to know, because I'm not the one who performed. The one who promised is the one who's got to perform. You ain't got to perform nothing. You do not have to make the promise come to pass, so stop trying. Making the promise come to pass has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. You just got to trust that he'll do it. You just got to trust that he can do it. And if you trust that he can, and you know the word, then you can trust that he will. And if you trust that he will, guess what you'll see? You'll see the answer to the promise. See, that's the thing. When I started claiming things, I was like, man, this is a little bit heavy stuff. And I don't know how this is going to happen. And we tried to make, you know, like I told my wife this one thing. There's one thing my wife wants. And my wife doesn't ask for a lot. And it just hit me like a ton of, just like boom, it hit me while I was sitting in one of these meetings. Why can't she have that? Why can't she? Why shouldn't she have that? And so I said to her, I said, I'm giving you something for your birthday. And she said, what's that? Because I claimed, I think it was on her birthday, I claimed it. Or the night before her birthday, whatever, but I claimed it. And I said, I'm giving you something for your birthday. And she's like, what's that? And I told her, and she was like happy about that. But she didn't quite get what I was saying yet, I don't think. Because she wasn't sitting in the same meeting I was. I was stirred up. But see, that's what sometimes, that's not wrong. I mean, you got to stir people up. Because, like, listen, if you just got to church and you got something good, all the people who aren't here aren't getting the good stuff that you're getting right now. So you might have to share the leftovers with them. You know what I mean? And so I took it to her and I said that. And so she said, I was like, oh, great. And we could put this towards it and that towards it. I'm like, no, that's not what we're talking about here. This is a gift. You ain't going to figure this out. You don't have to figure out how this is going to happen. Just because I said go doesn't mean that you have to be the one that tries to figure out the race. Glory to God. No, this is, you know, obviously not. My wife is a woman of faith. Well, like I said, I got the revelation, so I have to share that. Amen. Just like when she got revelation 2 weeks ago, she had to share it with me, and that's why we're doing things that way now. Glory to God. That's what the life of faith is. We help each other go back and forth. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ain't got to make it come to pass. We don't have to make that come to pass. I know. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He'll reveal it to one of us. You know, we can't ignore. If he reveals to us, how we can't ignore that and say, well, you know, angels are going to make it happen. Because, you know, that's stupid too. I mean, angels do have a part to it. But they might move practical things into your life to make these things happen. And we know that. But we don't have to make that happen. And I'm just as excited as if I'm watching that thing happen right now. I'm telling you, like, that's how I left there. I left there like, man, this is going on right now. Now, there's two things that I released faith in, specifically was told to. There's two things in these meetings that was. One was for the church, and one was for my wife. Glory to God. The thing that is for my wife, it does bless me. That's not why I did it. But my wife and I live a life such that when either one of us gets blessed, it blesses the other one. So we get just as excited. Just remember that when I want something. But, that's a joke. Hallelujah. That's praise the Lord. But I've been excited. I was thinking the other day too. I was so excited. And I was like, wait a minute. What? And I was trying to figure out what was the news that I just got. You know, when you get news, you get excited, right? When somebody tells you something, you get excited. And I was thinking to myself, self, what is this thing that just happened to me that I just got told about? And I realize, and I'm realizing right now because it's all coming together right now. I realize. Because I never figured it out then. This was about 2 days ago. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just realizing right now as I'm standing before you that the excitement wasn't the news. It was the understanding of faith that thing is coming to pass. Yeah. It was as if somebody came to me and says, okay, we're ready to do this now. We're ready to take care of this now. That's what faith is. That's what the patience of faith is. It's You're sitting on the edge of the couch, your tail's just going, whoop, 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 whoop. It's time to go out. Look at me. It's time to go. You taking pictures? You want a video? I'll do that again for you later. You can take a video. Praise the Lord. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And look at this. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Yeah. It was accounted to him as right. Yeah. God said, that's right. Because he said, it's God. God's a performer. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Well, Pastor Jeff performs a little bit, but hallelujah. That's a joke. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. And he even tells us this. It shall be imputed to us. I don't know exactly what the word imputed means, other than it means that it it comes on you, right? Is that kind of right? Right? I don't know the exact definition of it because I didn't look it up. It shall be imputed to us. It shall come to you who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Amen. 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 When you're weak, waiting for the promise to come to pass. Strength comes through faith. No faith, no assurance, no strength. No faith, no assurance, no strength. That's the way it works. You want strength, you're going to have to stir the faith. Praise God, that's what it is. Listen, we shouldn't be, yeah, it's simple. Praise the Lord. We shouldn't be reminding each other of all, like, it doesn't need to be a reminder of all the things. How are we going to work this out? What are we going to do? You know, really, the answer is always just simply God. We got to trust God. As we abide in Him, we'll know what to do and not what not to do. We'll know the things that are right that are not right. We'll know what belongs to us, what doesn't belong to us. We'll know that what things that we can use faith for and what things that we shouldn't waste our time with. Yeah. Do you know, like, who believes the Lord wants you to live somewhere nice? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We believe that. Yeah. When we were in the Jamestown Church, you know, I was serving God. I didn't know that we were called to pastor yet. We didn't know all the things that we were called to yet, but we were serving with everything that was in us and just giving everything we could to the Lord. Amen. And there was a desire in my heart to start being closer to the church because, for one thing, it was a lot because sometimes at 2 a.m, I'd have to go drive all the way across town and go to the church. And it might not sound a lot, but when you have to do it at 2 a.m. after you've been sleeping and you don't want to get up, praise the Lord, it's a lot. And so stuff like that. And so I was constantly there and I said, man, it'd just be nice if we were closer. And plus my wife and I, you know, we wanted a little bit of land. We wanted more than just town. We wanted some privacy, someplace we could go out back and have a fire, things like that. You know what I mean? And just things like that. And those aren't wrong desires. There's nothing wrong if you desire that. There's nothing wrong if you desire that. Listen, there's nothing wrong if you desire more than what you have right now. If your kids came to you and said, you know, I'd like something else. I'd like this, maybe this nice whatever. If you could, wouldn't you want to just give it to them? And ask all the mamas in here and all the daddies in here. If your kids came to you, well, how do you think the Father looks at us? He's not looking at you saying, "Oh my gosh, that's coveting." Yeah. That's what the religious world has to say. Like, if you want anything, coveting. Like, there is another side to this. Like, yeah, we don't just like spend our life trying to get stuff, but at the same time, it's okay to want things. Yeah. It's okay to want nice things. Yeah. It's foolishness to think that God would not want us blessed. Yeah. Putting us in the world that He designed. He designed all this stuff, not you. Anybody want to go to, let's pick a place, Fiji. Anyone want to go to Fiji? Okay, I've seen a few hands in here. You know what? God designed Fiji, you didn't. The Fiji government or the Fijian government or the whatever government, they didn't design that. Well, no man built that. God built that. You know why you want to go there? Because God built it, and He put the desire on the inside of you to see the creation. And maybe Fiji isn't your thing. Maybe something else is your thing. Yeah. Like, listen, God, see, that's why we just got to be like, okay, well, I have to worry about never having this. Right? I'm just going to, I can put those thoughts aside and be expectant. Yeah. Yeah. The good things are going to happen. Yeah. Maybe Fiji's one of those things. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But anyways, we were desiring this house. And I was looking into it. I even started talking to my mom. I was like, could we make this happen? I was going to build it. Amen. And I was thinking I could, I had the plan. I had it all figured out. The lumber, I figured the cost and all that thing. My wife told me that whenever I figure the cost, it's always about twice what I said. But at the time we were happy and it was with knowing that. But, you know, I was going to go after it and really could have, looking back, could totally have done it. But, you know, the Lord, I started releasing faith. Right? I started going after these things in faith, saying, Lord, this is what I want. And there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord if something you want either. But so that's the other balance too. Amen. But I said, Lord, this is what we want. We started like, you know, just rejoicing and thanking Him. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, it would do that for a little bit. And all of a sudden it was just becoming like sour. You know, it's just something didn't taste right about it. You know what I mean? I was like, but God wants us to have nice things. I know that. But why is this getting sour? And then instantly I thought, well, that must not be faith. But that's not what it was. It was the Lord saying, you know what? That's not what I have for you. Yeah. But you know something? What we were looking at doing isn't even like a quarter of what we have now. Yeah. See, I couldn't see a few years down the road. Yeah. Right. But if I didn't have the patience, I would have never gotten here. Yeah. Would never gotten to that place. And that's exactly what God does with all of us, is that if we trust him and get in that place and just be like, you know what? What do we do? We didn't give up on God saying, well, this is what I wanted. I didn't get it. So I'm just going to stop serving God, I guess. Or I'm going to go to a church that teaches something different. That's not at all what we did. What did we do? We looked at God and we said, well, praise the Lord. We'll just keep going with God. And that's exactly what he did. And then he opened up the doors, the things that we couldn't see. And that's exactly what God will do with you. He'll open up doors. I'm going to close with something. Praise the Lord that I said I was going to get to. I'm just going to bring it up, James 1, 2 through 4. Hallelujah. My brethren, my sistren, brothers and sisters, hallelujah. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Verse 3. Glory to God, hallelujah. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work. Patience, perfect work. This is why you can count it all joy when you see the trials. This is why you can count it all joy when you not yet see what you desire, praise the Lord. What's not desirable in your life. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. There's that word perfect again, two times, one scripture. Patience is going to have a perfect work that you, say I, may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Hallelujah. It's the word of the Lord. What do they say in the Catholic Church? It's the word of the Lord. Then they respond, right? Come on, we got some former Catholics here. What do they respond to that? What do they say after it, though? That you have a response to say. Well, sister, you're a great Pentecostal. You weren't a very good Catholic. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Yeah, she had to go back, way back. You know what I mean? Go back to those days. Well, praise the Lord. We've been delivered from some things, and we know she has to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good. It's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, I tell you what, us charismatic Pentecostals, whatever you want to call us, Bible-believing people, we need to get that in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. You know what you need to go? You better go through the rest of your day saying, man, thanks be to God. And if you didn't, get online and listen to that sermon again and have it repeated for you. Amen. Well, that's as far as we're getting today, but I think that's a good stopping place, enough to carry us over at least to Tuesday. Amen.